you, ladies. 2 Samuel 22. If you would, 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. I think it's good and healthy for God's people to reflect on the work of God in their life, especially over the course of their life.
Right.
You know, we are people of today.
Right.
We fuss about our instant society and instant gratification and all the instant things of our time. But we are, by our very nature as human beings, people of today. Right. I mean, my main concern is what's happening today. We're bad in our culture today, not planning for the future. And we very quickly forget about yesterday. Sometimes with God, it's not so much a matter of what has God done for us, it's what has God done for me today. And what God has done for us in days past kind of passes away. And that's why we sometimes feel like God's not really blessing us, because God hasn't done something for me today. He has, he hasn't done anything big for me today. And so it's important for us to sit down from time to time, on a regular basis, probably frequently, and just ponder on where you would be had it not been for God's intervention and work in your life, if you're saved tonight. I mean, when I think about where I could have been or where I might be had God not done what he did at this juncture or point in my life. What if God had not led me here? What if God had not brought me into contact with this person? What if I had not been at this spot at this time? How things might be different in my life if God had not done that. And God's done many things. I also think of times in my life where God's helped me get victory over something, or where God has spoken to me and turned to me because of something I've done. And I think we'll never really grasp it till we get to glory, just how involved God has been in our life and worked in our life. And we tend to forget that because we get so focused, all I can see in front of me is the problem of today. And because of that, we tend to forget what else has happened. In our text in 2 Samuel 22, if you were with us last time, we saw that this chapter is placed in between chapter 21, in which David records, or which the Bible records for us, those four battles with the Philistines. And David's army and David are fighting this division of the Philistines made up of giants. Now again, they weren't 25-foot tall men, but they were men who were giants compared to other men. And so he was fighting those, and we saw the victory there. Then chapter 23, the bulk of it, except for the few verses at the beginning, covers David's mighty men and all the conflicts and battles that involved. We're not given much detail in chapter 23, but that chapter represents an entire group of battles and fights that were done with David's mighty men. So we have these two chapters involving conflict, involving enemies, involving battle, involving fights, and the trials that come with life. And then in chapter 22, stuck right in between these, is chapter 22, which as David, as it says in chapter 22, verse 1, is a song of praise. It says in the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him. So in chapter 22, we have this entire song of praise. Now this song in chapter 22 makes up the 18th psalm. If you don't turn there, but if you were to turn there to the 18th psalm, you'll find these same words. Now, they're not verbatim. They're not exactly the same, because this song was a spontaneous song of praise, and then later on at some point, David then transformed it into what we might think of as a hymn and recorded in the 18th psalm for public praise or public worship. And so it's a song of praise wedged in between these two chapters concerning the fights and the battles of David's life. Now let's start reading in chapter 22, verse 1. We probably won't read the whole thing because it's 51 verses long and you'll be exhausted. We don't want to wear you out, but we'll read quite a bit of it. Verse 1, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. And I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me and floods of ungodly men made me afraid, The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven were moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. And the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomforted them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, and with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou shalt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt say, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, or the proud, in other words, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to go through the whole chapter. Obviously, we're not going to go through it verse by verse, because we could do an entire series on all of this. We're going to do an overview of the entire chapter and view what David presents here as God, our great deliverer. Okay, so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Piper, why don't you lead us in prayer. Amen. You can be seated. Oh, man, I got a spot on my shirt. Just ignore that, will you? Brother Warren, bless his heart, bought me a coffee, and I apparently saved some of it on my shirt. I was conscious of that all night long. Probably shouldn't point it out. We don't have to wonder about all that David is referring to when he speaks of his troubles in our text. He speaks of troubles in chapter 22, verse 1. We don't have to wonder exactly what those troubles are or what it was that he was wrestling with, because he tells us specifically, he mentions the wrestlings that he had with Saul at the end of verse 1. And so he praised God here publicly for how God had delivered him from Saul's murderous intent, that of how Saul was trying to kill him in the early part of his life. You know, he praises God here for how he delivered him from the hand of Saul, even though that deliverance at this point is 40 years previous. And so it's been about 40 years since God delivered David out of the hand of Saul. And David here is still praising God for that deliverance that happened 40 years ago, or about 40 years ago. But more than just Saul, David also mentions in verse 1, if you'll notice, out of the hands of all his enemies. So he doesn't just mention Saul, but he mentions this unnamed group of enemies, or these unnamed challenges. And David certainly, as we've seen in his life, didn't have any shortage of enemies in his life. He had plenty of enemies. As we've already seen, he had Saul, which God had delivered him from. But even before Saul, there was Goliath that he had to deal with. And even before Goliath, there had been the lions and the bears that David had fought in order to protect the sheep that he guarded when he was a young man keeping his father's flock. And those were only the beginning, because after Saul, of course, came the Philistines and the Ammonites and the Amorites and the Moabites and the Syrians and the Edomites. And then there were the men who came in his life. men like Nabal, that worthless guy, which is what his name means. Nabal. And then, of course, there was Shimei, who cursed him as he fled from Jerusalem. And so there were groups of enemies and individual enemies. And there were enemies of his own household. Of course, that resulted in his having narrowly escaped from Jerusalem when his son Absalom rebelled against him, and he barely got out of there with his life. And the rebellion of Absalom that caused him to flee also resulted in the ugly, ugly battles at Mahanaim that we saw that resulted in many, many deaths of God's people. But God delivered David out of them all. There were the countless battles that he fought alongside his mighty men that we mentioned before. Many of those are recorded in chapter 23, all those battles among his men and when he was almost always outnumbered and outgunned. But yet God delivered him. That included, of course, those four battles recorded in chapter 21 where they fought the giants. In one of which of those battles, David did nearly lose his life. But God sent an Abishai and delivered him even out of the hand of the giant. Of course, then there's no doubt were countless conflicts and political conflicts and physical conflicts and personal conflicts that we don't even have recorded in his word, in God's word. And so there were all these enemies, and David groups them all together in chapter 22, verse 1, when he says, "And God delivered me out of the hand of all my enemies." Now, for us, if I were to say, "God delivered me out of the hand of all my enemies," I've had a few, but nothing like David. And so David could certainly speak to this when he says that God has delivered him out of all his enemies. David was familiar not only with all of that, but we also know that David was familiar with personal loss. He was familiar with the death of his children. He was fully aware of his own personal failures and problems. And so David could speak to this very well. Think about it this way. Solomon, with all of his wealth and all of his riches, was able to write to us and was certainly qualified to write to us about the true meaning of life in the book of Ecclesiastes. And just as Solomon was qualified to do that, David is certainly qualified to write of danger and loss and struggle and deliverance, which is what chapter 22 is. It's a praise concerning the deliverance of God. And David had firsthand familiarity with the subject that far surpasses us. I mean, David knew much more of the deliverance of God than you and I know because of the way and the things that God had done in his life. David wrote of enemies within. He wrote of enemies without. He wrote of enemies close. He wrote of enemies distant. He wrote of enemies well-known, and he wrote of enemies well-known. He wrote of enemies powerful and weak, physical and spiritual, few and many. And he said, "God delivered me out of them all." Amen. Amen. God delivered me out of them all. He said that God delivered him out of all in verse 21. And the word of God's very honest and very forthright about the dangers and about the disappointments and about the times of great loss that come into our lives. The Bible's very honest about that, isn't it? It records for us. That's the reason why when we see the great men of God, we see the struggles and the battles and the enemies, because the Bible is very clear and very honest about the fact that this life is a life of struggle until we get home to be with the Lord, when we'll lay our sword down and there'll be no more struggle. But until then, it is a battle of struggle, a life of struggle and battles and difficulty and all the things and disappointments that come into our life. But this book that you hold in your lap, if you're holding a Bible tonight, that book is a book of hope in the midst of struggle. And it is a book of hope in the midst of the battles of life. And it's a book of hope in the midst of these things. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about this. You know, human poets, when poets write, because I'm a big poet fan, you know, poetry fan. So when poets write, or human poets write, what little bit of poetry they forced me to read in college. When poets write, they are famous. Poets are best known for the discouraging way which they write about life. I mean, they write about the sorrow of life and the disappointments of life and the more depressing, that's my impression of poetry, the more depressing it is and the more disheartening the struggle of life is, and the way the poet kind of puts it in music, the greater the poet is. And so they write about sadness and sorrow and disappointment because they can't write of hope. But David, the greatest songwriter who ever lived, I think, wrote not only of the struggles of life, but he wrote of hope. The Bible speaks of the very same sorrows that human poets speak of, but it speaks of hope in the trials and hope in suffering and hope in the battle. It's not a hopeless book because God is behind it. You see, the human poet writes in a sorrowful way because to him there is no hope. But David writes about it because he knows God, and he's able to write and says, "God delivered me out of this all." I write about the same thing the human poets wrote about, but God delivered me out of them. And therefore, there is hope. Now, we see this in our text in the idea that the great theme of chapter 22 is deliverance and the deliverer. Because look what it says in chapter 22, verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of all his enemies. Look what he says in verse 2. For he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. And then in verse 3, he doesn't use the word deliverance, but certainly the concept is here. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. That savest me. That's deliverance. Yeah. Amen. That savest me from violence. Then you notice in verse 4, and I will call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved, delivered from mine enemies. Then in verse 17 it says, and he sent from above and took me, and he drew me out of many waters. Waters here represents the many enemies and trials of David's life. They're like a flood that came over him, but God saved him out of them, drew him out, delivered him out of them all. Then you notice in verse 18, and he delivered me from my strong enemy that were too strong for me. Then he says in verse 20, he brought me forth also into a large place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. Then in verse 40, he says, for thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me, thou hast subdued under me. That's deliverance, when God subdues your enemies under you. Then in verse 41, he says this, thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I have destroyed them that hate me. Now, come on, son, that's deliverance, when God destroys, your enemies. Verse 44, thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Then he says in verse 49, that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast also lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Come on, are you getting the idea tonight that this is a song of deliverance? The Bible's very clear about the battles of life, but it's also very clear that we have a deliverer. Amen. That we have someone who can save us. We have someone who can lift us up above our enemies. We have someone who can handle those things that we are not capable of handling. Right. God is a God of deliverance.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I wish you were more excited about that. God is a God of deliverance, and he can deliver us out of all our troubles. And you who are not excited about it, that will be the same people who will be going, it's so sad. No, God is a God of deliverance.
Amen.
The Bible's very clear about the sorrows and tragedies of life, but it's also very clear that we have a deliverer if we will just trust in him. Now, in 2 Samuel 22, David here is reflecting on all those deliverances that God had delivered him out of, or violence and battles that God had delivered him from, and how God had worked time and time again in his life against all the enemies that had come up against him. It is his reflection on the truth that there was not one battle, not one trial, not one struggle that he could not see the delivering hand of God in his life. Can I submit to you tonight that if we would take the time to reflect rather than focusing on the trouble today, if we would think back upon our life, there's not a trial, there's not a difficulty, there's not a struggle, there has never been a battle in your life as a saved person that if you would look, you could see the delivering hand of God. I believe that you could see the delivering hand of God in any struggle, trial, or problem that we've been into if we would just grab a hold of it. And David reflects upon that God, David didn't deliver himself, but it was God that delivered him in his time and in his way. Now, this reflections in chapter 22 cover almost 50 years of David's life. That interests me, that in chapter 22, David is reflecting over about 50 years of his life. Most of us can't remember the deliverances that God brought into our life last year. David's reflecting on 50 years of deliverance. Do you understand tonight that when you read the Psalms, most of those Psalms are praise from David in relationship to the deliverance that God has brought into his life? How many times does David speak of deliverance in the Psalms? There are songs as David reflects over 50 years of God's deliverance in his life. And he does the same thing here as he thinks about how God had saved him so many times. We need times of reflection. In our life, we need times when we reflect upon the deliverances of God, those things that he has brought into his life. Some of those involved his grace before we were ever saved. Many of us are the recipients of God's grace before we were ever saved. Because God delivered us out of things so that we might live in order to be saved. And so God brought deliverance in our lives before we were ever saved. And like I said, so many of David's writings in the Psalms are about the deliverance that came his way after he was saved. And we tend, as I said a moment ago, we tend to focus only on the enemies and the battles and the dangers of the day. What's happened today or what might happen tomorrow. And God's done many mighty works in your life. God has done many mighty works in your life. He has brought deliverance. He's brought answer to prayers. He's brought protection. He has brought provision. He has brought blessings. And he has preserved you more often than you know. Because he is our great deliverer. You may have never fought any giant Philistines, but I'll guarantee you there are things that God has brought you through. And the trouble is that we only focus on the battles of the day. We need to bring encouragement. We need to bring the encouragement and the hope of past deliverances over into our day today. We need to bring them from the past into the battles of the day. I really think we would be much more encouraged if we would reflect upon past deliverance, and if I can drag all those past deliverances and the encouragement that I had at that time over into the battles and struggles of today, we would fare so much better. Listen, God delivered me out of, remember what David said? God delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. This Philistine is nothing. I remember the past deliverances that God brought into my life, and it's going to make the battle of today so much easier. Because I know what God has already done. We need that reflection. One of the best ways to stay encouraged and not be overcome by the enemies and the trials of life is to reflect upon and memorialize the past deliverance. This is David's attempt to memorialize the deliverances of his life. He wrote in it, we need to write our own song. Maybe not literally, but we need to write our own song of deliverance and memorialize what God has done in our life. And memorialize the deliverances. Now notice this in chapter 22, verse 2 and 3. You see David's perception of God. As David memorialized the past deliverances of God, and as he thought about how God had delivered him in his past, there was a perception of God that began to form in the mind of David. If you and I will focus on past deliverances, it will begin to form in our minds, in our hearts, in our concept of God, a perception of what God is like, or a perception of who God is. And you see that in verses 2 and 3, where David gives us this idea or his perception or his understanding of who God is. And David writes down for us in these two short verses, 9 descriptive ways in which he viewed God. Now, David was a poet, so he does it in very poetical terms. But he writes down 9 images of God that had formed in his mind as he thought about the past deliverances of God. And what makes this interesting to me is not just the fact that he was able to come up with 9 images of God as a deliverer, but the rapid fire succession in which it comes. I mean, he crams 9 images of God into 2 short verses. God is my, God is my, God is my. 9 of them in 2 short verses. That indicates to me that these images were not something that David sat down and said, okay, well, in an institute, we got to come up with 9 images of God. What am I going to write down? No, it means that these things were flowing out of David. As David thought of past deliverances, the thought of God and the perception of God that he had began to flow out of him and began to flow out of his, I think probably began to flow more out of his soul than out of his mind. Yeah, right, yeah. As he thought about what God was like and who God was, and he thought, man alive, my God is a, and they flowed out of his mind, out of his soul when he thought about the deliverances of God. We come up with God's gracious. God's merciful. He is. But David had so much a better perception of who God is, as these were the impressions that were upon his mind. Notice these. Now, we don't have time to park on each of them, but notice them real quickly, if you would. He gives these perceptions or images of God in verse 2 and 3. First of all, he said, God is my rock. You don't even have to know what that means. No, that's good. God is my rock, and he ought to be our rock. The word rock here, or the Hebrew word, refers to a craggy rock, or in other words, a great mountain cliff or a great mountain peak. I can see that in my mind. God is our rock, you know, a great mountain cliff or a great craggy rock, which is far above the ground below. And the idea that David's trying to get across is this: there had been many times when God had lifted him up far above his enemies, and when it looked as if all was lost, and God somehow lifted him up above it all. Have you not ever had God be your rock?
Amen.
Have you not ever been in the midst of a struggle and a problem or a trial and you battle and you thought, I don't know what's going to happen. And just like that, God turns it. And you're looking down on it thinking, man, God is good.
Right.
He said, God is my rock. He said, secondly, God is my fortress. Now, the word fortress is not like the Old Testament. It's not like the old Western fortresses that you see in a movie where the guys are held up and the Indians are running around everywhere. That's not the same idea as a fortress. In the Old Testament, a fortress was not so much a place that they fought from as it was a place of supply. It was where troops gathered, and it was there that they stored and kept their supply, and it was there that they were refreshed. And God, David is saying God was the one who, in the face of his enemies and trials, time and time again had been his supply. God is my fortress. When I thought I had no strength left, God was my fortress. God was my supply. Come on, I dug into his word and I sought him in prayer, and God encouraged me and strengthened me in the way that only God can. He is my fortress. Get a little excited, will you, and help me out? God is my fortress. He is my rock. And he is my fortress. He is the one who lifts me up above my enemies. And he is the one who is the supply when I need it in the face of the fight.
Right.
He is my fortress. I had to think about all this. It was flowing out of David as he thought about the deliverances of God. He says, God is my deliverer. I like that one. The word deliverer that he uses in this verse is the idea of one who carries another from the battlefield.
Amen. Yeah.
It's when you have an injured, broken soldier who cannot help himself, and some man in courage runs out and grabs him and drags him off the battlefield. And God is the one sometimes, Brother Sam, when we're injured and hurt and can't fight another day, who drags us off the battlefield and gives us supply.
Amen.
Encourages us and refreshes us. He is the one who is our help. He says, God is my refuge. These deliverances were not things or people, though they sometimes came through them. He says, it's God who is my refuge.
Right.
It's God who is my rock. It is God who is my deliverer. God sometimes uses people, but listen, my God did it.
Right.
My God is the one who was there for me. He says in these verses, fifthly, that God was his shield. I like that one too. Because a shield is not an offensive weapon. When the enemy or trial was stronger than David, it was God who stepped in between David and the danger. And there are times when we're overwhelmed in our life and God steps in.
Right. Amen.
We have no idea how many times God has stepped between us and the enemy.
That's true.
And probably will not until we get to glory.
Right.
He says, God is my shield. God was the horn of his salvation. Now, the horn is not a trumpet. A horn is a sharp incline. It's as if you have a large field, and in the middle of that field is this hill that suddenly just shoots up out of the ground. You've heard of the Horn of Africa, how it shoots off the coast. And the same thing's true of here. It's not a trumpet that you blow, but it's a sharp rise in the ground. And the image here is that all around David is the enemy, and he's surrounded on every side. And there sits David right on top of that horn, inaccessible
Amen.
To the enemy.
Amen.
And it is God that, when he deems so, can make us inaccessible to the battle. And accessible to our enemy and to the trials of life. Seventhly, God was his high tower. The same idea of inaccessibility. David was confident that in life nothing could gain access to him that God did not allow, because God was his high tower. He says God was his refuge, a place of retreat when he was weary. This is the idea that there was, you know, we don't just need retreat, and we just don't need refreshing, and we just don't need strength in the battle. We need it between the battles. And the refuge is the place that you can flee to between the battles.
Amen.
And God was his refuge. Lastly, he said, God is my Savior.
Amen.
I think when David got to that part, he thought of everything that he had saw, and he thought of all the concept of God that he had, and I think he summarizes it all in this last one. He says, he is just my Savior.
Amen.
Able to save me from the battle and save me from the struggle. He is my deliverer. As David reflects, here's the thought you got to get. Are you listening?
Amen.
You got to think about how God has delivered you in the past. And David, so focused on and so memorialized and so refreshed himself with the thoughts of God's past deliverance that he was just overwhelmed with the thought of how God had worked in his life. And these nine descriptive terms then flowed out of him. We have got to be a people who reflects upon the deliverance of God and stop feeling sorry for ourselves because of the battle for the day and stop becoming weary because of the battle of the day and think, man, I have been here before and God has delivered me from every enemy in my life in His time and in His way. And I think if we could do that, then maybe like David, we might just be overwhelmed with God our deliverer. And it might be that we might be able to write our own song of deliverance. Man, it ought to roll off our tongue. Oh, God is my, because of the way He's delivered me in the past. Amen?
Amen.
Now notice David's confidence. You know that this type of mindset breeds confidence. Confidence. And verse 4, you begin to see that. He says, I will call on the Lord. Why? Because I've been here before. And God has delivered me from them all. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. None of those are good things. But he says, when all these things happened, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and He did hear my voice out of His temple, and my cry did enter into His ears. That's confidence in verse 4. And it's confidence in verse 7 when David said, when the distress came and the enemies came, I remembered that I had been here before and God has delivered me before because He is my rock. He is the horn of my salvation. He is all the things that David lists in those two verses. So when the new enemy came and the new trial came and the new battle came, David defaulted to this. I will call upon Him because He is my deliverer. And you notice the confidence that he has. Verse 4, I will call upon the Lord and He will deliver me. Verse 7, I will pray unto Him and He will hear me. How did David know that? Because God had done it so many times in his life in the past and he has not forgotten what God has done. It's great confidence. We need confidence in the battle. Listen, if you're in battle, if you don't know what you're doing, you better be at least confident. And David was confident in the battle. Because of that, he was able to stand up to so many things in his life that we were unable to stand up to. You see, that confidence again is based on his view of who God is. His confidence wasn't based on a message like this where some preacher was trying to get you to say amen to the fact that God is our deliverer. It's based on personal experience.
That's right.
And the remembrance of all that God has done. David says, okay, I've been here before. Man, I got the Philistines. We got the Amorites at the door. That's okay. God delivered me out of the hand of the Philistines. Remember what he said when they said, you can't beat this giant. You were but a lad. Remember what he said? Well, God delivered me out of the lion and out of the bear, from the lion and the bear. And I'm confident God can deliver me from this guy too. I've been here before. And I will call upon him and he will deliver me. And so we see the confidence that David expresses because of his view of who God is. It proves that for all our talk, the true test of our real view of who God is how we react when the enemy is at the door and the confidence that we have. Because of David's confidence in God, look at the amazing way that that he saw God with an eye of faith. I love verses 8 through 16. I don't have time to stop on them, but other than to read them. And it's obvious that these things didn't literally happen, but this is David's perspective of God when he prayed. David says, look, the enemy's at the door. What do I do? Well, I've been here before. I'll do what I've always done. I will call upon my deliverer. Will he hear? Yes, he will hear. Will he deliver? Yes, he will deliver. And look how David saw him, at least in his eye, as David prays about the enemy. The enemy's at the door, and David prays unto God, the enemy is here. I don't know if it's a Philistine or an Amorite or an Edomite or a Syrian or who it is, but there's a great enemy at the door. And so David prays, God, I need help. And here's what David saw, at least in his mind. And then the earth shook and trembled. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. The earth shook and trembled. And it says, and the foundations were moved and shook, and he was wroth. God, somebody is after me, help. And David said, in my mind's eye, I could then see the earth shake. And God said, hey, he is mine. Hands off. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured, and coals were kindled by it. You better leave me alone. My God is the deliverer. And he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. And the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them. Scattered who? His enemies. Oh, listen, David says, I need help. And God thunders out of heaven and rides upon the wind, flinging arrows as he comes. And the earth is shaken. And David says, they're all gone. Because God is my deliverer. Amen. Now, God rides on the wind in his own time. But he is our deliverer.
That's right.
This is how David saw him. You know how we pray? Lord, I need some help. As we saw this morning, then we go to the extreme and go do what we feel like we need to do. David says, I've been here before, and God will deliver. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't want to do it. But in David's eye, he could see God riding upon the wind, charging to his aid and help. Amen?
Amen.
Because of David's confidence, he recognized God as his deliverer, which is why he says in verse 17, and he sent from above, and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters, and he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. And he brought me forth also into a large place, and he delivered me because he loves me. Paraphrasing, he delighted in me. He loves me. So he is my help and my deliverer. I've got to say it again though. All of this is coming forth out of David's soul because of his reflection and remembrance upon past deliverance and the confidence that it has built into his life. You know, David had faults and problems, but there was one thing David was, and that is confident in his God and confident in his ability to deliver. David messed up a few times. David got himself in some serious trouble, but he was confident in the forgiveness of God. And he was confident in God's ability to deliver. Over and over, David says throughout the psalm, when I call, he comes. Amen. And when I call, he will answer. And when I pray, he will hear. He is my deliverer. And I love the image that David has of him, those nine things. And I love the thought in David's mind by faith when he said, and I prayed and God came riding on the wind, flinging arrows as he came. And he scattered my enemies. That's how I saw him. Great confidence. How was David able to maintain this kind of a view? Well, first of all, as I've said a half a dozen times or more, it was his constant reflection upon past deliverance in his past deliverances in his life, which is why he says what he does in verse 1 when he says he spoke the words of this song. He wrote this song for nothing more than to memorialize God's deliverances in his past. He must have sang this a lot. Maybe he sung it every time an enemy showed up. Maybe they sung it as they marched out to fight the Philistines or the Edomites. Maybe he sang it while he's putting his armor on. I don't know when he sang it, but it's a song that he wrote. And one of the ways he kept this mindset and this mentality, it's because he constantly and continually practiced looking back over the entirety of his life and remembering and being encouraged by past deliverances in his life. And the second thing that he did, again, we're just flying through this tonight, but the second thing that he did is in verses 21 through 30, and that was his own walk and determination to live righteously before God. And what David is doing, listen, what David is doing here is building confidence in God in the face of the enemies. The first way that he did that was to remember what God has done in the past. And the second thing that David did was to live righteously before his deliverer. If you notice in verse 21, it says this, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Now, did David mess up at times? Sure he did. But this describes the overall character of his life. I sought to live righteously before my God. Don't you think that this is all connected and cyclical in a way? That's what you get for trying to use bigger words. Cyclical in a way. Amen. David remembered past deliverance. That past deliverance, he thought, man, God is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my refuge. He is my high tower. How can I not live but righteously before such a God as this? And that righteousness in turn made God more, willing to deliver. He said, one of the reasons why God's rewarded me with deliverance is because I've sought to live righteously before Him. I've said a lot of times in this pulpit that there are times in life where living righteously will matter. It matters all the time. But there are particular times when it will matter. Because there are people who profess to be Christians and see no need to be faithful. They see no need to be at church all the time. They don't see any need to get serious like those people over there. But then suddenly, an Edomite comes, or a Philistine comes, or a trial comes, or a death, or a loss, or a tragedy. And then they'll discover just how important righteousness is. Because it's in those times that we, it's during those times that we will be glad that we have lived righteously before our God when we bow our knee and say, God, this is too much for me. Amen. And we can do it with confidence because we've lived righteously before Him. It matters whether or not you live righteously. It may not seem to matter day in and day out to the world. It does. But it may not seem to matter to the world. Because the world looks at us and says, well, I don't see why you got to be all the time. What good does it do? You'll find out when you're standing next to that hospital bed or next to that casket or next to that car wreck or next to that tragedy. At that point, you'll be able to kneel before God and say, I'm so thankful that I've lived righteously before Him because now I need a deliverer. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you? It's during that time that you'll be able to say, God, please reward me according to my righteousness. Do you understand what a statement that is? You all tracking?
Amen.
Do you understand what a statement is? That in the midst of a tragedy, to be able to say, God, I need help. Would you please be my deliverer? Would you please help me? Would you please reward me now in direct proportion to my righteousness? Don't tell me it doesn't matter. Come on, would you like to be in the midst, well, you don't want to be in the midst of a tragedy, but would you like to be in the midst of a tragedy right now and have to call upon God in direct proportion to your righteousness? Lord, reward me according to how faithful I've been to church, and reward me according to how faithful I've been to you, and reward me according to how faithful I've read your word, and God, reward me according to how faithful I've prayed, and God, reward me in direct proportion to how much I've served you. Now, God is gracious and merciful, but God does reward in relationship to righteousness.
Right.
And David says, David had this confidence because he could think of all the times that God has delivered him. And now David says, I'm so thankful that I've lived righteously because it breeds such confidence where I can pray, God, please help me in relationship to my righteousness. You know what David is saying? I have been faithful to you.
Yes.
Please now be faithful to me in the time of my need.
Right. Amen.
And apparently, God works to some degree based on this. He says in verse 18, everybody still awake?
Amen.
He says in verse 18, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. And he goes on in verse 19, talks about how God had brought him into a great place. But then in verse 21, he says, and the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. And I was also upright before Him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in His eyesight. With the merciful thou shalt show thyself merciful, and with the upright thou shalt show thyself upright. Don't tell me it doesn't matter how we live.
Amen.
David says, I'm confident that God will hear, because I've been faithful to Him. And now I can expect that He will be faithful to me. And then thirdly, he was confident because he fed on the tried and tested Word of God.
Amen.
Because he says this in verse 31, just one short statement, verse 31. As for the Lord, his way is perfect. And the word of the Lord is what?
Tried.
David said, I've been here before. And I have found the word of God in these times always to be faithful.
Amen. That's right.
He says, it's a tried book. Amen. Listen to me tonight. When you find yourself in the midst of trial and difficulty, remember the past deliverances of God. Live faithfully so in those times you can say, God, I've been faithful to you as best I know how. Please be faithful to me. And then we need to turn to his word because this is a tried book. Amen. Friend, I don't care what you're going through. There have been countless saints of God who have come before you who have found strength and encouragement and support and help in this book. There have been countless believers who have turned to the words of David and found strength to go another day and help to go another day and the encouragement to go another day. And as they turn to that passage and tears come to their eyes and they say, thank you, Lord, I think I can go another day. It's a tried book. I wonder if it'll work. Friend, it's been tested time and time and time again for 1,000 years, and it's always true. David said, I made it through all my enemies because I remembered how God has delivered me from so many. I've done my best to live righteously in his eyesight, not before men, but before him. And so I can expect that God will be faithful because I've done my best to be faithful to him. David says there have been time and time again when I've turned to his tried word, and it's encouraged me and helped me and strengthened me to go another day. Boy, we're the beneficiary of so many of David's deliverances because it's his word so many times that we turn to for the encouragement to go another day. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Have you not ever turned to the said, I just need something? And God will give you a little something. And you say, you know what? That's not much to the world, but I think I can live on that for another day.
Yes, amen.
Yep, I think I can. The enemy was at the gate, and the waves were overflowing. But with this one verse, God has lifted me up for another day and held me up above my enemies. And I think I can make it one more day. Amen?
Amen.
And then lastly, David says, shows all this confidence because of past deliverances, because of his desire and purpose to live righteously before God, and because of the strength that he had drawn from God's tried word. And he found God faithful. And because of that, verses 32 through 51, all the way through the end of the chapter, though there are some bits and pieces of other things here, but basically, 32 through 51 is nothing but pure praise because of all that God has done.
Right.
Look what he says in verse 32. For who is God save our Lord? All God's people right there ought to say,
amen.
Amen. Who is God save our Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power. And he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon the high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them and turned not again until I have consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them that they could not arise, yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me thou hast subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. And they looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then I did beat them as small as the dust of the earth, and I did stamp them as the mire of the street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient to me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast lifted me up upon high above them that rose against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises in thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. He is my God, and he is my deliverer, and he is my strength. I would to God, Brother Hubbard, that I so focused on his deliverances that the thoughts of him and the images of him could just flow out. Why do you go to church all the time? I'm glad you asked. Because he is my rock, and he is my fortress, and he is my deliverer, and he is my high tower, and he is my salvation. That's why. The enemies came against me, and he delivered me out of them all. Amen. And I have sought to live righteously before him, so that when I need him, I can say, God, I've been faithful. Please now be faithful unto me. There have been countless times when I've turned to his word, and God has strengthened me out of his word and given me just enough to go another day so that he might supply more strength tomorrow. That's why I serve him, and that's why I go to church. And I'm done, friend, but you can sit here tonight and say, well, I guess. I still don't think you have to, and I don't think, well, do that all you want. But there's going to come a day.
Right.
Listen, I've been doing this a long time, and there's going to come a day when the Edomites are going to be at your door. And the Syrians are going to show up. And there's going to come something in your life that you cannot think your way out of. And on that day, you better be able to kneel down and say, God, I've lived righteously in your eyesight. Hear my prayer. As you have delivered me in the past, please deliver me now. Show me in your word what I need to get through today. And I will praise you for yet another deliverance that you've brought into my life. We need to reflect upon him as our deliverer. Because we all need one.
Amen.
And one of these days, if you've never had the Edomites at the door, you will. Sooner or later, we live a blessed life.
Amen.
Some of us go a long time before the Syrians show up. But in every life, an Edomite comes. And in every life, a Syrian comes. And in every life, a Philistine comes. And every once in a while, a Goliath. And sometimes it feels like he brought his four buddies with him. And it's those times we need to be like David. This is too much for me. I need a shield. I need a high tower. I need a savior. God, please help me. On that day, you'll say, I am so glad that we made the decision to serve him. Because now it's worth it. My extended family thought we were crazy. And people told us, you don't have to do all that. But I'm glad I did.
Right.
Because now he will show himself faithful, as I have shown myself faithful. If you're here tonight and you're in the midst of something, listen, he is our deliverer.
Amen.
You just need to stop for a minute and think back about all that he has done in your life. Because you are blessed.
Amen.
Help me out. You are blessed.
Amen.
And God has delivered you more times than you remember.
Right.
And what we need to do as his people is write our own song of deliverance. To sit down in a quiet place and think, I'm just going to sit here and think about how God has shown himself faithful in my life. And then bring that forward into today. So when the Edomites show up, we can say, you know what? This is a big Edomite. But I've been here before.
Yeah, right.
And God has delivered me before. And he has delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear. And he will deliver me out of this. Because he's done it before. And until he does, Lord, please give me something out of your word to get through today. As you have done countless of your people before me, strengthen me for another day. And I'll give you praise.
Amen.
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 For yet another deliverance. He's faithful.
Yes.
And he is our deliverer. We just need to reflect upon it and think about it. Does he always deliver on our time? No. But he will show up when you need to be, when he needs you. You say, well, it just feels like it's overwhelming. Well, if it is, he'll step in between you and the enemy. He'll lift you up. And let me tell you, and let me say one more thing tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not in the midst of the battle right now, we still need him. Because he is our refuge and our strength between the battles. Because that's what life is, isn't it? Going from one battle to another. And boy, we need him between the battles. You just don't need to show up when things are bad. We need him between the battles. Why don't you stand with me if you will?